Hi, we are here at Yale New Haven Hospital with Kiev Malusi. My question to you, Kiev, what is your highlight of the week?
Hello, Maria. It is nice to be on here with you today. My highlight of the week was that I received my second dosage of the COVID-19 vaccine dosage.
And how are you feeling with that vaccine? I hear a lot of controversy on people not feeling well. How did your first vaccination feel?
So my first vaccination, I was pretty okay. I just had I had a little bit of series of nausea the first day after I had got the first vaccine. But in all honesty, that was just about it. I didn't develop any major symptoms of the COVID, like the fever and the, you know, chills or anything like that. So I have to say my first experience with the first dosage was a pretty good experience.
Fabulous. So you did have your second vaccine this week, correct?
Yes, today.
Oh, wonderful. So congratulations.
Thank you.
One more question. What do you do here at Yale New Haven Hospital?
So I am a phlebotomy technician here at the Yale New Haven Hospital Smilo Blood Draw Station, located on the North Pavilion on the fourth floor. And just to give you a little description of what I do at my job, so pretty much you can kind of say that I'm kind of the, I wouldn't call it the boss because I'm not the boss, but I'm the guy who pretty much makes sure that everything is running accordingly and as it should be in the Smilo blood draw. I make sure that we have supplies every week ordered in to last us through the week because we do see a high volume of patients throughout the week. So, of course, we always have to make sure that we're supplied and that we have everything we need. I also perform EKGs on patients. Sometimes we'll get patients who come in for pre-operations or maybe they're going to have a procedure that has to be done. And most of the times the physicians would like to have an EKG done just to make sure that the heart rate and everything with the heart is going okay before surgery. I also collect urine samples, all type of anything pretty much that can be transferred to a lab, I take care of.
And also, do you transcribe orders? How's that done?
Yes. I transcribe orders for patients. Pretty much, we get some patients who have doctors that aren't affiliated with our Yale Epic system. So they will bring in requisitions that have, blood work orders on there. So we would go ahead and put those orders into our Epic system so that the doctors will be able to receive our results, because we get some patients, they really love what we do here at Yale, us as phlebotomists. They love the care that we give them. And they really don't like to, explore their options when it comes to phlebotomy because, it is a sensitive, it's something sensitive to do. We're putting a needle in someone's arm and we're taking blood from them. So patients want to make sure that that's something that's going to be done right and it's going to be done efficiently. So they love to come to us here at Yale just because they love the treatment and just how nice and how caring we are to our patients here at Smilo.
Wonderful. Now tell me, how did you decide to become a phlebotomist? That's a very well experienced position. Did you have heritage doing that? Anybody in your family?
Yes. So my family is a little bit, I would say, medically orientated. My grandmother on my mother's side, she was a pharmacy technician for a very long time. My mother was an emergency room tech for 20 plus years over at the St. Raphael's Campus Hospital before Yale went ahead and took over that. And my grandmother on my father's side is also experienced in phlebotomy, and she's been doing this for about 30 years plus. She is the one who introduced me to phlebotomy because I've always had an interest in the medical field. I've just never really known what I wanted to do as far as, just to get started in and kind of get my feet wet. So it's something that I really talked a lot with, with my grandmother. And we talked about it a lot. And one day she just suggested that I come to a school of hers because she also is a phlebotomy instructor. So she suggested that maybe one day I can come and take a look at the class. I can see how things are done, see how things are ran. And if that I was comfortable with that, maybe it's something that we can pursue to try and turn it into a career for me. So I did my 6 months of schooling with my grandmother. You know, she was very, very hard on me, wanted to make sure that, you know, I knew that this wasn't going to be an easy ride, and that at the end of the day, even though that is my grandmother, I was going to work hard and, you know, really work for what I want. So yeah, my grandmother is the one who introduced me and taught me my phlebotomy skills.
And now I'd like to ask you about standard orders. I know you're the factoid man.
Yes.
So let's talk about the standard orders to keep the patient's mind at ease, not to be upset or worried.
Yep. So standing orders that we have, in our Epic system, they're orders that once you come in and get them drawn, they automatically repeat themselves into our system. Unlike the orders that we have that are called future one-time orders, once we collect those in our system, they're erased from the system, so we can't go back in and do those labs again without having a proper order from the physician. As to with the standing orders, if a patient does come in and they have the orders in the Epic system under standing, once I collect those orders, as soon as I'm done with them and I collect them and they are resulted, the patient's orders will still be in the system for their next visit to come back in, so they wouldn't have to worry about calling doctors or have to be worried about, you know, maybe someone's on a time limit and they don't have time to wait for a doctor or to wait for a fax to come through a fax machine for orders. So standing orders are, I would say they are the most convenient for the patients, especially patients who come a lot. We get some patients who are here every other day. We get some patients who come every week. We get some patients who come twice a week.
And I have a question. What are the standing orders? Are they usually CBCs?
Yes. So there's a few different standing orders depending on what the doctor wants. But I can just go over a few of the most routine, or two of the most routine orders that we have here in our system. So one of them will be the comprehensive metabolic panel. Now this test is a range of testing. It's about 14 tests that are packed into one panel. So pretty much this will be blood levels of the albumin, blood. We also, you know, we'll also check for the calcium, carbon dioxide, chloride, creatinine, glucose, potassium, sodium, totibilirubin, and protein and liver enzymes. So these are just some of the tests that are included within the comprehensive metabolic panel. We also do a lipid panel, and that measures the cholesterol fats, and it also measures the cholesterol levels. And we also have our CBC, which is a complete blood count. And this is just information about the white and red blood cells and platelets as well. The concentration of the hemoglobin plus the hematocrit. And it also helps detect a variety of diseases and conditions, such as infections, anemia, leukemia, and etc.
Fabulous. I want to thank you so much for your time today. I really enjoy talking to you, and I will have you on again. Would you accept?
Oh, yes. Open arms, I will.
Thank you. Enjoy your day.
Thank you, Maria. You as well.
Haven Hospital on January 28, 2021, recently named Michael D. Holmes to the position of Chief Operating Officer. Holmes has more than 32 years of senior executive experience in the healthcare industry. New Haven, Connecticut, December 21st, 2020, Yale New Haven Children's Hospital has become the first hospital in Connecticut and Rhode Island to perform a successful heart transplant on a pediatric patient. All episodes are sponsored by Anchor FM. Universal and standard precautions, the Center of Disease Control Prevention, CDC, studies the diseases and provides guidance to prevent their spreads. AIDS was a major public health crisis in the 1980s. In 1985, the CDC responded by introducing Universal Precaution, UP. Using this system, workers elevate each client care situation and apply gloves. If there was a risk of contact with visible blood, sometimes blood is present but not visible. If blood was not visible, gloves were not needed. In 1987, a hospital developed a new system called Body Substance Isolation, BSI. The guidelines were published and widely adapted. When using the BSI, personal protective equipment, PPE, is to be worn for contact with all body fluids, even if blood is not visible. Standard precautions, SP, were introduced by the CDC in 1996 to replace universal precautions. Workers must assume that all blood and body fluids are potential sources of infection, regardless of the perceived risk. The precautions are used for all clients whenever exposure to blood-borne pathogens is likely. Standard precautions took information from both universal precautions and BSI. BSI, the importance of all body fluids, secretions, excretions from recognizing as a factor in the spread of diseases. PPE is worn anytime contact with blood, body fluids, secretions, mucous membranes, or non-intact skin is likely. The name standard precaution was selected to prevent confusion with other types of precautions. One goal was to be as simple and friendly as possible. The most common method of spreading infections is through the hands. In 2002, the CDC published the guidelines for hand hygiene. Investigators studied different methods of cleaning hands. They found that products containing alcohol were more effective in removing germs than using soap and water unless the hands were visibly soiled. Most healthcare faculties and many other businesses began using alcohol-based products for routinely cleansing the hands. This includes the operating room, which is the most surgical area in the hospital. Standard precautions were updated in 2007 by the CDC. The 2002 hand washing guidelines were included as more precaution to prevent the spread of respiratory infections.
I'm gonna work on this segment. It's gonna be about you got a lot of nerve, and it's if you did not have a central nervous system, you could not taste, smell, see, hear, think, breathe, move, run, sleep, remember, sing, laugh, or write things down. And a lot of times, your nervous system really is affected when you're sick and there's an illness. So a lot of times when you approach someone and they don't come into character with your conversation, that could be their nervous system. It could be a broken heart. So all these things and these divisions of the nervous system, it works together. There's three main subdivisions, and the central nervous system is one. And it's so important to understand the individual when you speak to them. I try to just look at them and figure them out and listen. I do a lot of listening, and I see the individual react. It could be at my defense, or it could be offensive.
So it's very important to understand who you're speaking with instead of jumping in. It's like jumping into a pool without water. Just always remember that. Listen to what that individual's saying. It might not be what you want to hear, but understand why they're saying it and read deep into it. Try not to trust it until you're sure and confident of that individual, because that could affect your whole life, you know, your livelihood. And it's so important, especially the anatomy of the nervous system. It could affect your autoimmune system. Your nervous system is so sympathetic, and that could affect your whole being and your body for stressfulness. It could affect your performance, especially if somebody comes in and knocks you off balance emotionally, and you're like, oh, wait. And I know a lot of people go through that emotional disposition. It's hard to carry emotional disposition in a profession. You try to fight it and you try to work through it, but you have to avoid that individual that enjoys to counteract into your weakness. And it's the weakness is getting upset and trying to focus on what you're doing at that moment. So if you're not focused and you feel that attack, walk away. Excuse me. Just walk away from the situation, and things will get better for your You know, maybe that other person will understand that, you know, they're out of line. We're talking about the types of nerves in the last episode and how you can hit one. The sensory nerves, also known as afferent nerves, they carry impulses or messages from the sense organs to the brain, with a sensation such as touch, cold, heat, sight, hearing, taste, called receptors, smell, pain, pressures are experienced, you know, and are located close to the surface of the skin. Also impulses, they pass from the sensory nerves to the brain and back through the motor nerves to the muscle. A complete circle of establishment resulting in movement of the muscles. So we're talking about the motor skills and how people can come in and just destroy that moment of focus. And say you're at school or you're training or you're learning something, you know, and there's someone that'll always come in and take the healthy out of your happy, because they don't get it, you know. They have issues with their motor skills, and so when they see someone else focusing the way they focus, they get a chemical reaction to what your personality or just something in general, whatever affects them, who knows. But you need to understand the concept of that. You need to be sure that they don't affect your day, and you need to avoid that person as much as you can, because they could affect your life. Always remember that the muscle in the brain, it contracts. So when it starts to contract, it's because you're upset. And when you're upset, the chemicals, they're not released. And that's why you can't focus, or you can't remember, or you get upset, or you go into a panic. So just avoid that person, avoid that situation as much as you can. And do some, you know, exercise. It's so important to do deep breathing exercises. Avoid all of that. It's just petty, and it's childish, and it's just nothing you want to be. The heart is often referred to as the body. It's pump, you know, pumps in all the beautiful blood and through the vessels and through your arteries, pulmonary issues, circulatory issues, and it's just be sympathetic to your body and allow it to circulate and allow yourself to breathe and relax. The stretching is so important to avoid that situation as much as you can, because I get a lot of feedback on how people can you know, really affect their health, their marriages, their life with intruding into your circle. And they like to throw bombs into your moment of happiness. And it's not good because we don't need that. They don't belong. They don't belong. Stay out. And don't be afraid to approach it. You know, just walk away or just let them know, you know, you're in the wrong place right now. This is not your circle. And it's time for you to walk away. And most of the times they will. And it's not, you know, appropriate. They have that issue with their chemicals and they need to go address it with a professional. I'm not saying everyone, it's just sometimes you just need that help, you know, and get it. Because if you mind your own circle and you do what you need to do and see things differently, it all works together and it all works out. You'll see a better moment and you'll see a better segment in your life. But if you fight other people and you don't really allow them to learn or to understand what's going on in your life, and because you're affecting them health-wise, they're not going to focus. But that's why you're not the true professional that should be there in that situation. Sometimes it's a teacher, it could be a doctor, it could be anything in your life that needs to understand that you don't need that right now. You don't need your illness or your situation to enter your circle. You know, if we ask for it and we want to know what's going on with you, are you okay? Then you can, you know, enter and express yourself. Our next episode is in reference to discrimination, harassment, and how it could affect and will affect your health. Stay tuned, Anchor FM. Hi, I just got a message from a Pamela, and I want to say thank you for leaving me a message in reference to introduction. When someone is referred to a visit to a party or an interview or an event, she says she got a brush off, meaning they ignored her and really didn't give her the respect that she deserves. And I told Pamela, it's considered the brush off. They act as though they're assisting you, but they're not. It's an approach that is very disrespectful, and never assume that your referral is going to help you. So always have that direction and knowing who you're meeting with and understanding why you're there and what they need of you. So Pamela, thank you for calling. I appreciate your time and efforts, and I will talk to you outside of this recording. She prefers to be anonymous, but she said I could tell you her first name. But anyway, so you understand the concept, these things really affect people's emotions and their health and their capability of understanding why, when, and how much they can handle. So if you have any questions, please direct that directly to my messenger. I appreciate your time, Pamela, and I will definitely continue this with you. Soon our episodes are coming up in reference to blood work. So we'll talk to you in detail in how certain blood tests help you prevent illnesses. Hi,
Hi, this is Maria from Anchor FM. I just wanted to mention that we do have a voice messenger, and you can also leave your messages on voice messenger. And then I will send you a link also if you need a voice messenger link, we can do that. So have a great day, Anchor FM. Anchor FM just got a message from someone wanting to know who to contact for discrimination. You have the Discrimination Connecticut Workplace Fairness. Employment discrimination is the practice of unfairly treating a person or a group of people, any race, sex, age, or religion. So you contact Connecticut Human Rights and Opportunity Act to protect the workers in Connecticut from unlawful discrimination in employment. Be sure that you understand it covers under 40 and over 40. So ADEA, that's the Connecticut From and Unlawful Discrimination in Employment Act.
Title I and Title V of American Disability Act, ADA, of 1990 by President George H.W. Bush. The ADA provides a wide range of civil rights protections for the individual with disabilities. Discrimination types: age discrimination, disability discrimination, sexual orientation, status as a parent, religious discrimination, national origin, pregnancy, sexual harassment, race, color, and sex, and retaliation, reprisal. Retaliation includes ostracism or maltreated by peers. Both supervisors and peers can be guilty of retaliation. The reprisal includes taking adverse personal actions or withholding favorable personal actions. This is part of the discrimination types. Discrimination of insurances, Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. Reports of insurance-based discrimination on healthcare and its association with access to care.